You're listening to the Art Problems Podcast, episode 54. I'm your host, Patty Johnson. This is the podcast where we talk about how to get more shows, grants, and residencies. And on this podcast, I'm going to let listeners in on some of the work I've been doing behind the scenes with the artist William Pohida, rebuilding our curriculum. And you may be wondering, why are we doing this? Well, we wanted to lay out a path so that every artist, no matter where they are in their career, can follow that path so they can get more visibility. Now, this may sound a little impossible because every artist has strengths and weaknesses and is in a different spot in their career. And that's not wrong, right? We're all at different places. And it's one of the reasons we've been so careful in laying this program out. And I still fundamentally believe that every artist's path is different. But with that said, I also know that there are certain decisions that you need to have made and have materials in place in order for any progress to be made. So today, I'm going to lay out the plan that we're mapping out for the artists inside of NetWork so that if you're a member, you know what we're working on behind the scenes and can start using our resources to implement these things even before we release the program. And if you're not, you still have a sense of what you need to do. So I'm going to begin by walking you through the sectors and tiers that we've established for the art industry and artists. Because if there is one thing that we can agree on, it's that emerging, mid-career, and established artist doesn't mean anything. And as an artist, it's really helpful to know exactly where you are in the industry, like where you're participating and at what level. And I think this is where so much frustration with these labels come from, because you need to know where you're situated, and there isn't terminology that really gives you that clarity. So let's dive in on these tiers, because we use four basic categories: beginning, intermediate, proficient, and master. But to these categories, we also apply reach, which starts at regional, graduates to national, and then global. So, for example, you might be a master regional artist, but a beginner or intermediate national artist. And these distinctions can easily be read by somebody with a high degree of literacy in the art world just by looking at a CV, but might not be immediately apparent to you. And the reason that knowing these distinctions is so important is because knowing where you start allows you to get a set of realistic goals on where you want to go. But we also want to add to this the sectors of the industry that you participate in. And for a lot of artists, this will be more than one. So I want to go through those now. So an example of the sector will begin with amateur or hobbyist. So where you would show would be like coffee shops, for example. Next, we have nonprofit and academic. So venues that fall under that category might be, say, Brandeis, NYU, Montclair University, The Hammer. Another sector is nonprofit, but more related to museums and art centers. So that might be SMEC Mellon or MCA Chicago. We put those into a different bucket. We have public art. So commissioners for that might be the Percent for Art program, Black Cube. We have direct to customer. If you're doing that, you're participating on Saatchi and Etsy. You're doing your own pop-up shows. We have corporate clients. Those are hospitals, hotels, credit card companies, commercial primary markets. So that might be Night Gallery in LA or Spinello Projects in Florida. And then we also have alternative spaces. So those look like Tiger Strikes Asteroid, Plug Projects, AIR Gallery, those types of spaces. Now, if I've missed any in these sectors, I'd love to hear from you, but those represent the broad sectors that we see the most inside and outside of the membership. And once you know what part of the industry you mostly work within, you can set up your web presence in a way that responds to that sector or those sectors. So for example, If you sell your work directly to clients, your website is going to be set up entirely differently than if you sell your work through galleries. And you need to know your audience in order to design your website for them. And this is why I always recommend artists start by identifying which industry sectors they participate in, who their audience is, and then orient their websites to those audiences. If you don't do this, you won't be able to make headway in the art world. And that's because you'll be creating a website for an imagined audience rather than the one you actually have. Now, I'm going to walk you through the beginner pathway that we've laid out for the network membership that is not live yet. This is just what we've been working on. And even if that's not for you, let's say you're a master regional artist, right? The beginner pathway will still be helpful because you're likely making a lot of decisions based on knowledge you have, but don't even recognize. And hearing it codified makes repeating and building your successes a lot easier. So the tiers and sectors I just laid out appear in the foundations, but we will also ask you to reflect on your art because none of it works without your art. And once your foundations are complete, we start with your website, which is the first representation of your work that you can control. And all the areas where you can control the representation of the work is where we want you to focus. Your art, your bio, your artist statement, it all lives on the website. But the website is essentially an island. It's useless without any of the tools that someone might use to get you there, right? And so these are tools like Instagram, business cards, networking events, mailing lists. And this is why inside the membership, I refer to the development of these tools as a communication ecosystem. It's a pool that constantly needs to have its pH levels balanced so that flows occur easily. So artists who sell lower priced items on their website will need pricing guidelines or guidance. And so that's the next module in the curriculum, followed by Instagram and networking, which helps you get people to the site, but also encourages soliciting feedback. So in order for you to really develop your work, you're going to need feedback on it. And that's something that I want to encourage every single person listening to this podcast to do. Now, one problem I see artists struggle with a lot is applying critical rigor to their work and to work around them. And I want to acknowledge that this criticality comes easier to some types of work than others. You know, an intuitive painter communicating feelings through abstraction may not maintain a conceptual practice or have any interest in it. And that's legitimate. But every artist needs the ability to distinguish their work from others. And that's what criticality does for your work. So what is criticality? And, you know, I think there are probably a lot of definitions to this, but in my opinion, it's less about the critique of specific subjects, although that can certainly be part of it, but rather about applying context sensitivity and curiosity to all aspects of your practice. Even intuitive abstraction draws from the contemporary context. Your ability to bring specific aesthetic language to your work and specific textual language to how you talk about it is how you differentiate yourself. So criticality is a really important part of your practice. And I think that's what made the recent slide slam with senior curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art Denver, Miranda Lash, feel so substantial to members. So Lash spoke about every single work in the slide slam. We had about 30 or 40 people that she talked about, and she reviewed 200. And she spoke about every work with depth and expertise, drawing historical references, citing themes, and then bringing the themes that emerged from reviewing roughly 200 network members' work into focus. And she named intimate portraiture and the home made strange as two of just a couple of themes that she pulled out. And in that talk, you know, Lash talked about whether you know, this was an after effect of COVID, or a greater willingness to be vulnerable to, you know, what makes our homes. And I think that that ability to bring out those themes is what I'm talking about when it comes to criticality. It's about thinking about what is going on outside our lives and inside our studio and being able to identify them. Now, the last stage we have in the beginner path, but can be applied more broadly, is that once you have all these different pieces in place, you start applying to shows. And if you're at the beginner level, you're likely going to be applying to open calls and member shows. But I want to discourage the idea that if you're a more advanced artist, you're not submitting proposals. We just had John Massier, the curator of Hall Walls, into Network to speak, and he talked about mid-career retrospective proposals that he's received and attempted to place at institutions larger than his own and launched himself. So if you're working at a higher level, you're still submitting proposals. It's just a less visible process. So I want to make sure that you're doing that no matter what level you're working at. All right, that's it for this episode. I want to thank you all for joining me, and I will see you next week. Thank you for listening. If you like the show, please leave a review and share it with a friend. It really helps get that valuable information out to more artists just like you. You can find all of the names and the links that we reference in this conversation at workshop.art/podcast.